His name is Jack Smith, and he's the average American in our country today. Jack works over 45 hours every single week, and he spends less than 4 hours a week with his family. He sleeps about 7 hours a day on average. He may be part of a family with a wife and children, but most likely he's part of a non-traditional family. Jack watches 2 hours and 49 minutes of TV every single day. And this doesn't include the time he spends focusing on other forms of media. He reads less than one book each year. In a year's time, Jack will eat over 2,000 pounds of food. And he'll throw away over 225 pounds of food. 170 pounds of the food he consumes will be sugar in all of its various forms. That means raw white sugar, sugar substitutes, high fructose corn syrup. And that's about a half a pound of sugar a day. He'll eat one serving of fruit, two servings of vegetables. Those are below what the humanistic worldview will share with what we should eat, right? Not according to God's law. He'll eat 185 pounds of meat, which includes chicken, turkey, pork, and beef. 197 pounds of wheat and other grains. 630 pounds will be dairy, which includes milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream. And, well, here's some of the promising news. He'll eat 273 pounds of fruit and 415 pounds of vegetables. The downside of the vegetables is he prefers corn and potatoes, which has very little nutritional value. He'll eat 85 pounds of oils and fats this year. He roughly consumes 2,700 calories every day, but in those calories, there's not that much nutrition. So he's really undernourished in his body. Jack's among the 70% of Americans who choose not to exercise at all each week, even though he is aware that scientifically it's proven that it has health advantages. Jack will take 2 to 3 man-made medications daily, but he doesn't take any vitamins or minerals or other nutritional whole foods that would really be beneficial to him. On a daily basis, he's exposed to dozens of man-made products that are a detriment to his health. They include household cleaners, air fresheners, candles, pest control, weed control, the carpet in his home, man-made fabrics in his clothing, plastic products of all kinds, man-made materials in his mattress where he gets those 7 hours of sleep. And then there's still all these other personal care items like deodorant with aluminum and shampoo and cologne and lotion, and the list goes on and on and on. There's all these things he exposes himself to, and are these really what God intended? Jack will spend less than 5 minutes every day with complete silence. Even though Jack is likely to call himself a Christian, he may decide to go to church 1 to 2 times a year, but to him it's optional. And Jack does not pray to God unless something tragic comes up in his life, personally or with a friend or someone close to him. And Jack does not crack open his Bible even once for the year. Wow. I mean, how did we get here? I mean, this is the story of a typical American. It may not apply in every case to you. There may be certain parts of Jack's story that resonate with you. And today we're going to talk about the physical body and God's design for our body, why He gives us a physical body, what His purpose is for us. And I really want to make sure we put in context the importance that God puts on eternal things way more than He does the physical body. But He does talk about the importance of the physical body so we can carry out the purpose that God has for us while we're here on earth. So, we're going to look at some scripture. And thinking about Jack's story, you know, I really think that, you know, we're a long way off if even some of those characteristics of his life apply to us. They speak about nutrition, his food. It speaks about his relationships. It speaks about what he's thinking, where he's choosing to invest his time. Every aspect comes down to some physical aspects of how our body works and how we can glorify God by being pure and putting forth God's vision for our life. So let's start. Let's look at some scripture. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Turn with me, please. We're going to look at chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. Verse 8 especially. But I'd like to start reading in verse 6. To get some context, we have Paul here talking to Timothy. And he's really teaching and giving wisdom to Timothy about how to be an effective leader and what it takes to lead a church. The church body, but also talks about the physical body. And in verse 6 in chapter 4, it reads, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach." So in verse 8, when Paul is telling Timothy to have some care for his earthly body, he doesn't put it on the same par as our spiritual health and making sure that we're focused on the eternal things that God calls us to do. But we can't really do those eternal things for God unless our body is in good shape. So we need to take care of our physical body. And that is conveyed here to Timothy, not only for himself, but to carry forth for the others that he is bringing up through leadership. So why did God create us? And why did God give us a physical body? And why should we keep them healthy? So we're going to talk about the physical characteristics of our body today. And before I get into that a little more, let's read one more verse from Scripture. You can turn there if you want to. It's in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And here John is showing his concern for Gaius's physical well-being, as well as the spiritual. This is consistent in Scripture where it's mentioned as important, but it's never the most important thing. Our body is really a physical tool to carry out God's will for our life, and we should be connected to Him, abiding in the Spirit through prayer or meditation on His Word, and carry forth His purpose with a good physical body. So, if we look at those questions I just asked, why did God create us? Why did He give us physical bodies? And why and how should we keep them healthy? There's many things God calls us to do in the spiritual realm. One, if we think about the main purpose God created us, the chief purpose of man is that God created us to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. So that's really our purpose. And then how do we go about doing that? God's given us different commands, different instruction in Scripture of how to do that. So in Genesis 1:26, He talks about making us in His image. And God, in His Word, Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So everything about us, including our physical body, is patterned after God and His image. So our body has a likeness in some regard. We may never know exactly what that is physically until we get to heaven. And of course we get new bodies then. But there is some form of likeness. And definitely, of course, Jesus came in the flesh. There's another point we'll get to later about that. But also, God, we need to have a good, healthy body to be a good representative of the Lord, don't we? So if we're made in His image, Everywhere we go, we're really a representative of God. And if we look around creation, God has made everything. It's in perfect harmony. It's not out of balance unless sin has taken over. If man has left God's intended purpose, and really that, you know, being in His likeness and His image is something we should really meditate on and make sure we're trying to stay according to all the principles God has for us. God also says in Genesis chapter 1 that we should take dominion. So in taking dominion, He gives us a few different items to focus on. In Genesis 1:28, God says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So God gives us the dominion mandate, right, to go out. He asks us to go out and produce, to produce something, take dominion of the earth, to tend the garden, is what He told Adam to do. So we have a purpose to go out and take dominion of the earth, and God created man over all the animals to take dominion of the plants, the animals, and have that purpose in being on this earth. So working should be laborious too. I mean, it does take strength. So if you think back to the physical body, you know, what is it we need to do? We need to have a certain amount of strength, which we might get through physical exercise. We should have a certain amount of sleep so we can be sharp-minded. So as we're going about our day, that as we're taking dominion, we can really keep our focus on God, because being in the Spirit is really an important thing. If we're out of the Spirit in our flesh, we may be thinking we're taking dominion, we may be off course and doing things out of our own strength. In that same verse, God talks about being fruitful and multiplying. So God tells us to procreate and to have children, which will help us go take dominion. And, you know, there's just some facts about having children. You know, we need to be healthy, especially the ladies. A good, healthy body, you know, as we're going forth and multiplying, having many, many children, as God tells us to. And His Word, He says, children like arrows that we send forth to do His will, in order to raise them up in the proper way. But it takes a lot of effort to keep the body healthy. Just the amazing process of having a baby form inside the womb and go through the whole process of being born into this world is amazing. And it does take a healthy body. I know that Katrina's done a couple of workshops that have helped some of the ladies in this area. We'll talk more about that later, but it is very important to multiply, to obey God's command in taking dominion. And, you know, we need a lot of good physical health once we have the children, right, to take care of them. There's a lot of bending over, there's a lot of changing diapers and cleaning and preparing food, schooling, all the things that are really crucial at having a family that's taking dominion and living out God's plan. It takes a lot of physical work. And so we do need to have good physical strength to pass on to our kids and the legacy of our family. God also says that we are not only made in His likeness, but we're ambassadors. So as we're out in our workplace, as we're at the grocery store, as we take a walk in the neighborhood and we see our neighbors, you know, you are a walking, living ambassador of Christ. And let's not forget, the most important thing is being in the Spirit and the truth coming out through us, right? Jesus' light shining through us in our speech and how we conduct ourselves, choices we make, but even our physical appearance and how we have the stamina to do these things. All of these different things do play into the fact of God telling us to be ambassadors and to really go forth as a representative of Him. An ambassador truly is somebody that is going forth and can be in place of that person. 100%. As if that person was there themselves, we are acting that way for Christ. And that's a huge honor. It's a big undertaking. It's very intimidating. But it is something God calls us to do, and to be mindful of through prayer and meditation on His Word. God also calls us to evangelize. Right in the Gospel. I'm sorry, let me back up. I didn't read the scripture for being ambassadors. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:20. In God's Word, again it was 2 Corinthians 5:20, God says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. And God does call us to evangelize. In Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, the Great Commission, go make disciples. Without a healthy body, without all the things we need, sleep, food, proper food, physical strength, endurance, all these things play into our everyday life. If you have an ailment, a sickness, or a physical ailment, it could be a sprained ankle, it could be whatever it is, you can't carry forth what God has intended for you. So we need to be good stewards of our bodies. And as we evangelize, we do need to have energy. I think, you know, when we're sharing the gospel, there is some value to having enthusiasm, right? Letting us not have fear and be bold in our speech. And that does come through some of our physical appearance. And if we don't have high energy, it's going to be highly unlikely. We can bring forth the word with enthusiasm that's going to be based on God's truth and speak forth. Now, let's not forget, though, God, of course, is the one that changes the hearts. God's the one that's going to go forth and call somebody to His kingdom. But again, we have the responsibility, don't we, as humans, to do our part as God calls us to serve Him in this world. The last point I want to bring out at this point with Scripture is that God does also call us to make disciples. So, in the same verse that we just read, God tells us to go forth and evangelize and make disciples. He also gives us the call as parents in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In the whole chapter, but especially verse 7, when He talks about how we're supposed to raise our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So that tells us all day, every day, doesn't it? So it's our charge to bring forth the gospel in our household to disciple our children and bring them up in the way they should go, not to deviate to the left or to the right. But again, this all relates back to, can we do that well if we're not taking care of our physical bodies? We can't. If we're tired, do we make mistakes? I know if I get tired at work, I'm not nearly as effective. I make mistakes. And it does take intentional effort, doesn't it, to speak about the Lord all day long? I mean, I know that if I'm not taking care of being the Word, if I'm not taking care of meditating on the Word and reading, that it's very easy to get off track and not be intentional. And it's very easy to skip a night of family worship. It's very easy to justify and maybe skip coming to church on a Sunday. All kinds of things. It could be something as simple as just not being intentional and speeding. It could be just not taking responsibility and having some good quality time with your spouse. It could be all kinds of things. But again, we need to be intentional. And if we're taking care of the physical body, all these things relate back to us bringing forth the kingdom of God with power, with truth, with might, in regard to His word. So, our physical body is very, very important. I don't want to overemphasize it. Again, eternal things are most important. But our physical body is also, in God's Word, talked about as our temple of the Holy Spirit. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, if you want to turn there, you may. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Now, in this passage, God is talking about the body being the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. So once we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit is within us, and we are to steward our body as if it's not our own. You may remember last week, Jason gave a really great sermon and talked a lot about just the purity that Jesus bought for us. And the price that He paid on the cross, living a life without sin, and willingly surrendering His will to the Father to be nailed to that cross to take all of our sins. And Jason gave a very good, much more in-depth description of that, but he did talk about how Jesus did that so He could die, so the Holy Spirit could be sent forth and dwell within our own bodies. And so we need to take this very seriously. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the word says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Now the context of this verse is talking a lot about purity of our body. And a lot of it's about sexual immorality and being pure in all ways. But it does talk about being pure sexually. How the only sin that we can commit is against... all sins are outside the body except the sin of sexual immorality, which is within our body and is directly upon the Holy Spirit. So with all these verses, when you think there's some importance here of talking about the body, having a physical importance, especially with the presence of the Holy Spirit, we want to make sure that as we go forward, we multiply, we take dominion, we do it in God's way. And if you think about it, Jesus did give us a really a perfect model, didn't he? I mean, Jesus came in the flesh. He lived a perfect life without sin. He took on a physical body. And if you think about some of the characteristics, the Bible never mentions he was sick. The Bible only talks about things that were really edifying to God. He talked about Jesus. Remember when once he was baptized, where did he go? He went out for 40 days to fast. Can a healthy body fast 40 days? I don't know. I bet you an unhealthy body cannot fast for 40 days. So Jesus had to be healthy. He walked everywhere he went, didn't he? He did a lot of things that are a good example for us. He had endurance. He taught to many people. He healed people. He taught to the masses. He had to have even good voice projection. I mean, today we have the privilege of having a nice microphone. I'm glad I don't have a loud voice. But we have the projection. I'm sure Jesus was even blessed with a good voice of projection. But God did give Jesus a body for a reason. And I think it was an example for him to come forth. And so there's no way in this world that we can say that God, Jesus, cannot relate to us. He was in our body, he was in the physical human body, went through all of the temptations we faced, and yet was without sin. So this is a subject I want to touch on this morning. I didn't put in your outline, and I didn't commit enough time to study. But I want to at least mention it, because to me it's really interesting. I want to study on it more, but I want to just make mention. You know, there's a group of people. I'm not sure when it was or how far back it was, but there was a group of people, I think it was the Gnostics, that believed that the body was extremely sinful. And they did things like beat the body or mutilate the body, different things that they felt like the physical body was directly opposed to us advancing God's kingdom. And I think that's definitely not a truth, but through church history, we have things that have happened, don't we, that take us away from God's truth. And if we're made in God's image, that can't be true. Our body cannot be something that we should not honor, that we should treat in a bad way. So I'm looking forward to doing more study on that subject, but I want to at least bring mention today to that subject, and I wish I had more time so I could have shared a little more on that topic. But so as we move forward, how do we decide what good health is? It's a very good question. And maybe the better question is, who decides for us what good health is? Do we rely on reading periodicals? Do we rely on just what our doctor says? Do we watch a TV program? What do we do? Shouldn't we be looking to God and His standards for all things, all scripture to all of life? And so humanism and that worldview would have us to believe that really all of these decisions are on us, right? It's easy to do. What feels good to me? What do I want to eat today? Where do I want to go? What do I do with my time? What relationships do I pursue? What's easy? What's convenient? What makes it good for me and for my family? So God does want us to take care of our physical bodies, and it really comes down to being a stewardship issue. And we're charged to take care of our bodies. And we're responsible for all things that we put into our body, that we come in contact with, that we're exposed to, All of these things make a big difference in how we're able to serve the Lord. As I was praying through the sermon, preparing for even delivering this message, it was very humbling, I must say. And just the process of getting prepared was such a huge blessing to myself and my family. It gave Katrina and I a really good time to talk and meditate on the Word. And one of the things that came up, and I think this really relates back to what we've talked about so far, is, you know, as we're working through the physical body, we have to be abiding in Christ, don't we? Abiding in His Word. And so the one scripture that came to mind a lot was John 15, abiding in the vine. Let's take a moment to read John 15 now. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, though it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And it goes on, but I just want to give that context before we enter into some of the application for today. So, what are you taking into your body? As we look at application of God's Word, I think looking at just how we interact on a daily basis, what we get exposed to, what we take into our body, think about what you take into your mind. What do you meditate on? If you have free time, where does your mind go? Is it God's Word? Or is it something that you're anxious about or worried about? What are you meditating on? What do your eyes go to? And it could be things that you're looking at, spending time either in front of the computer. It could be something physical. You know, what are we doing with our eyes? Are we putting in contact lenses? I don't know if those are good or bad, but they're not maybe natural. I don't know. What are we looking at? A lot of our society today, we're looking at screens, aren't we? Or this computer, or your phone. There's a lot of things where your eyes are working in a way maybe that God didn't design, and it causes a lot of stress on the eyes. There's even some research done with eyesight that, you know, stress and things on the body will cause your eyesight to go bad or worse. Even when you get sick, when you're ill, next time you're sick, maybe think about this. When you're ill, your eyesight gets worse. And with what we do for our business, the business that God has put into our care, which I'll talk about a little bit later, we have a Pilates studio and deal with physical health. You know, Katrina is also, my wife has noticed when she's ill, how eyesight will change. But what are we putting in, letting through our eyes? Probably the big thing with the eyes is what we're taking in visually. And Jason has given a really good sermon on media. So I'll leave that part of the topic right there. But you can refer back to his sermon on what we actually take in, how it goes into our mind. What do you put into your ears? What do you listen to? And this also contributes right to what we're going to be taking in and meditating on. But there could be things in your ears. Think about this for a second. You know, if you're using a cell phone, a lot of us are. We don't know the studies what radiation does with a cell phone by the ear. Does it cause brain tumors? We really don't know. Some of the facts we do know is if you're driving along, right, while the phone is ringing, waiting for somebody to pick up, at that time, that's the highest amount of radiation that's going through the phone because it's searching and searching and waiting. As you're driving in your car, you're driving on the freeway, that cell phone is having to jump from one cell tower to the next cell tower to the next cell tower. So if you're driving, you have a phone by your ear, it's doing more and more work, more radiation for your ears. So what are the things you put in your ears? Q-tips. I don't know if they're healthy or not, but there's all kinds of things we put into our ears. How about your skin? So with skin, we take in probably half of all of our water consumption through our skin. You might not have known that, but we do. So we drink a lot. A lot of times we're really concerned about the water we drink and the quality of the water. But through our skin, we take in a lot of good things and or bad things. But what do you put on your skin as far as soap, shampoo, lotion, sunscreen? All kinds of things we're exposed to with our skin. We may not even think of it. And what do you put in your mouth? So we'll talk about food. We'll talk about other things that go into our mouth. But there are so many things that we actually come in contact with that I think we don't really think about. And it doesn't make... it should be convicting our heart that we're thinking about these things and growing all the time to make sure we are thinking about being a good steward for all these different areas. So the question comes, how are you stewarding your own physical body? And on the subject or topic of meditation, what you're thinking about, your thoughts, what do you think about? And where are you getting the information that you're putting into your mind that you're thinking about? Have you ever thought about what you do on a daily or weekly basis? Where you get news from? What news source you look at? How much you read the Word? What conversations you have with people? All this does impact our body because it goes into our mind and it really affects us. There are a few things. I was really encouraged. The topic of the ladies' meeting now, right? They're going through, what's the exact topic? I think it's being quiet. Is that what it is? Or connecting with our thoughts? I'm not really sure. I'm sorry. Quieting a noisy soul. Thank you, Matt. But just that is, what are we taking into our thoughts? And there's a lot of topics that the ladies are covering. I listened to the first lecture on that, too. It was very good information about what are we meditating on. So I'm really excited to see the ladies go through that content. And as I mentioned earlier, Pastor Young gave a great sermon on media before and all the different things we take in and we meditate on. I think it'd be very good for us to take a look at those things and really think about how they affect us physically. If we move on to the topic of sleep, how much sleep do you get? When I talked about our example, right, Jack Smith, it was hard to find conclusive evidence, well, scientifically, right, through humanistic viewpoint, how much sleep that everyone gets. But on average, it was about 7 hours. And I don't, you know, it varies how much sleep every one of us needs, but I think each one of you really do know how much sleep that you, in particular, need to be sharp in the mind, to feel physically able to carry out your day with enthusiasm, with the exuberance that God wants you to have. So getting enough sleep is very, very important. On a whole, as Americans, we don't get enough sleep. We're really under-rested. And that plays a big factor in all kinds of things. How about rest in the form of the Sabbath? I know keeping the Sabbath, I've been convicted of in recent months of taking one day of rest. God did it. Why shouldn't we? And I know that very often I will just, I'll just do one thing. I'll just do one thing for work today. I'll do one thing that I couldn't get to yesterday because I'm relying on my own strength. And God tells us, take a day of rest. God's ways are always the best ways, aren't they? We should trust in what God puts forth in His truth and keep the Sabbath day holy unto Him. Because God rested on the seventh day. How about recreation? You know, if we're going forth with recreation, can we do recreation with a purpose? I think we can. We shouldn't just work, 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 work and be a workaholic, but doing recreation with a purpose of spending good quality time with our family can really improve those relationships and help with our physical body and with everything else that we have. Now, food. I'm going to go into this a little bit. When Jason gave the sermon on food and he talked about the Levitical law, he referenced a couple of books that were really good resources, he thought. I don't know the name of the author or the title offhand, but I remember the three principles that Jason talked about that he had drawn from the Word and from this book. And those principles were that we should eat what God created for food. If man's hands are in it, it's probably tainted. The more we create things with our hands, the more the humans get involved, the more preservatives, the more homogenization happens. All these things that really take it away from what God truly intended. In His Word, or God's Word in Genesis, He told us in the beginning, before the flood, that we would eat herbs and trees and fruit from the trees. After the flood, He gave us the chance to eat meat. But all these things do play into it. The second thing that Jason had shared was, eat food how God created it to be eaten. So eat food exactly the way God intended it to be eaten, as much as is possible. Sometimes we can't. But eating food the way God designed it, and not doing anything that manipulates it. All these growth hormones, all the GMOs, all the pesticides. Some of these things we cannot do things about. The chemtrails will spray. We can't really do anything about those, but we can be conscious of what we're taking into our bodies and eating things as much the way God created them as possible. And then lastly on that topic is, don't make food an idol. We can't we? We can make food an idol. A lot of you know that our family has went through some recent health challenges. My oldest daughter, Hadley, who's 5, about a year and a half ago, had quite a few chest and dental issues. And it really caught our attention because we thought we were eating very healthy. And long story short, we needed to do something to really change what we were doing to bring back some health and really seek out and cry out to God and pray, God, what should we do? We saw several dentists. We came to a dentist that finally approached it in what we thought was a very loving, caring manner of just the way he conducted himself, the way he let the parents be back there and be part of it, the way he would just humanely treat the children using lasers in a lot of cases versus the drill. But really what it came down to was changing our diet. We went on a different diet that would be based on whole foods, really regenerate the body. What we found out, at least we think what we found out, is that Hadley's gut flora was very depleted, probably from birth, and she was not be able to digest and process the nutrients that she needed for her body to be healthy. And therefore was showing up with these external signs of teeth. And we felt really bad, really convicted, that what can we do to really make this change? And it's been great to see that going through with seeking God on this subject and changing what we took into our bodies, that since that time, Hadley's not had any cavities. And praise God for His healing. He's the one that heals. But it was our responsibility to seek God and figure out what is it we can do physically with our bodies that we're doing, that we shouldn't be doing, or that we're not doing, that He wants us to add back in. So praise God for His healing, because God is the healer, isn't He? So there's all kinds of things we can talk about with food. I don't want to belabor the point because, again, we've talked about this in the past when we went through Leviticus. The issue of raw milk, the issue of vitamins being banned in this country, making it illegal to grow a garden. There's all of these things working against us. And we face challenges today by law or even by maybe just peer pressure of society of doing certain things, but they're going to become illegal, some of these things. Now, I think that is not of God. I think the way God intends us to have milk would be directly from the source, not homogenizing it, not pasteurizing it, but having it whole from the source as much as we can. But a lot of this comes down to the greed, isn't it, of the corporations. And a lot of issues out there today where the way things are done, the way things are brought forth in a way that shows greed. These companies don't have our best interests at heart. If they were really looking to treat their brother as themselves, right, love their brother as themselves, they couldn't do business the way they do. And so seek things out that are going to be healthy for your family. Now, really briefly, what I mentioned earlier, what stuff do you get exposed to? You know, there's certain things we're around all the time. Whether it's the car we drive in, the bed we sleep in, the clothes we wear, all these different things, they have a physical contact with our body. And I think it's really important for us to look at all the things that we really come in contact with. It could be things like fluoride in our water. It could be toxic chemicals that are in our cleaning products, that are in all the things that we use. And just, I would encourage you, pray to God. It's not my place. I'm not trying today to tell you what to do or not to do. I'm hopefully encouraging you to seek out the Lord in these areas. Ask Him where He might have you make changes to what you're doing in your daily life. If there's anything there, I pray God that He would reveal it. We've touched on today, too, the topic of sexual immorality. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. Once we're saved, the Holy Spirit's there to stay. Right? Can never leave. So we have a responsibility to keep that body healthy the whole time that we're alive on this earth. As we are, as we talk about all these things, including food, you know, it's not a matter of being able to maybe increase the length of our life. That's not in our hands. God knows, He hasn't marked out, right, the day that we're going to go be with Him in heaven. But it's really about quality of life. And so those are the things we're really focusing on is, through prayer, make sure that you're seeking God's truth. Now, the thing I want to really talk about maybe a little bit more in depth today is exercise. Okay? Now, the next statement I'm going to make is going to probably surprise a lot of you. Before I do, I should probably give some context. I mentioned even earlier today that what we do for the business that God has entrusted to our care is we teach Pilates. How many of you know what Pilates is? Anybody? Okay, very few hands. So, really, a basic definition is Pilates is a form of exercise, and the purpose is to bring whole body health through balancing the muscles and getting good joint health. So a lot of the work that we'll do, and the design is to make sure that all of your joints are working properly, that you have muscles that are balanced throughout your body, so you're not imbalanced, have certain things that are really strong, certain things that are weak, that would pull you out of proper alignment or functionality. And so we do a lot of post-rehab work. We do some general fitness, but a lot of what we do is take God's design of the body, and we'll look at the physical body that comes before us, whether they're a believer or not, and you can see the imbalances that are in that body. You can see the habits they might have. You can see the things they may have neglected. And we work through it, and really, you know, when I first met Jason, it might have been, you know, 4 months after we were at Heritage. I think it was maybe the very first men's meeting I went to. And we were talking, I don't even know how it came up. But Jason talked about and said, you know, Pilates, that's God's form of exercise. And I think he was kind of joking, but I took it to heart and was like, you know what, he's right. I wasn't thinking about what we do and the gift that we have to interact with people to share the truth of God's design for our body and how it's an amazing creation, isn't it? The body heals. It has all these mechanisms that work just perfectly together. But the statement I was going to make, which you may be surprised of, even though we're in the industry of fitness, okay, I believe that the whole industry of fitness as a whole shouldn't really have to exist. We really believe that if we were doing everything according to God's will, God's way, through our physical work, that we would get all the body movement that we would need. And that the exercise, you know, craze of the current world right now, it's an artificial thing, isn't it? A lot of our jobs we do now, I'm not saying you're out of God's will by doing your job. But when we're sitting all day, or different things that we'll do that will physically cause us harm, and we have to take extra time away from our family, away from our job, to go and do things like do some cardio workout, or do different things. Those things, I believe, if we were doing things God's way, we would not really need to have exercise in a gym or in a Pilates studio. So, health. If we're talking about a healthy body, okay, what we do when we're working with clients with Pilates is we're going to look at the spine. Okay, and a healthy body is a healthy spine. What that means is the way God created our bodies is such a miracle, but it's perfect. The way He made the spine, we have vertebrae that connect all the way down through from the top of our head all the way down to our tailbone. Inside those vertebrae, we have a spinal cord, right, that runs all the way through, and we have some spinal fluid that is in that inside the vertebrae that keeps it all working well. Now, if your spine is working well and it's moving in every single joint, between every vertebrae, there are joints. If your spine is moving and it's moving in every single joint, it's going to actually take that spinal fluid and wash it over all of the vertebrae, and that's what keeps them vibrant and healthy. Okay, if they're not getting that motion, if they're not moving, that's when your health deteriorates. It works a similar way for muscles. It's a little different, but if you think about a muscle that you don't use, is going to atrophy. Right? God didn't give us any muscles really we shouldn't use. They all have a purpose. They'll have a counterparty as well, meaning there is a muscle that's going to balance out your body. So the spine, if we're talking about the spinal movements, if we're doing everything in a really healthy way, our spine will do four basic movements, which is going to be, one is going to be to bend forward or flexion. The second motion is going to be to either arch back or extension. And we're going to side bend or rotate on the spine. Rotation is the third, I'm sorry. And the fourth one is to side bend, okay, or laterally move to the side. Through all the things that God has designed us to do in our daily life, you should be doing all those motions. And if you are, along with doing all of your daily things, you should stay pretty healthy. But what happens is parts of the spine get locked up and you'll have different things happen. Degeneration, ruptures, stenosis. If we don't eat right in those same bones, we can get osteoporosis. They get whittled. They get weak and brittle, is what I was trying to say. And they'll possibly break. So there's ways we can move or not move that will restrict us. But as we're looking at the body, we want to make sure that we are healthy. Now, the muscle part of it, I'm not going to go into very much today, but I want you to try something, okay, right now. This is another example of how I think man's design may or may not fit into God's design. So the chair you're sitting on, all right, man designed that chair. I don't think that was God-inspired. It might be, but I don't know. For the rest of the talk this morning, I want you to sit in your chair. I want you to scoot a little forward so you're not using the back of your chair. I want you to sit up tall. I want your arms just in your lap. I want you to sit nice and tall. And I want you to feel what it requires of your body to physically sit upright. What muscles you have to use. And I want you to lean forward to put an arm on the table. I want you to lean to the side to sit nice and tall. Ideally, the best place for your legs is both feet flat on the floor. And just over the next few minutes, just feel what it takes to sit there. And see if this is a natural feeling for you, okay? We'll come back to that. Let's talk about shoes and feet. Okay, your feet are your foundation for your body. Shoes today. If you think about most shoes, let's set aside sandals or flip-flops right now, okay? But if you're thinking of shoes, tennis shoes have a really, really high arch support, correct? What that does is it puts your foot in a position where the muscles that are going to hold that foot, the muscles in the arch of your foot, to hold that foot in the proper position, they don't have to work. They just relax. Your foot's like a limp fish. It just sits there. It does all the work for you. And if you take your shoes off and you walk around maybe for a couple hours on a hard surface, a lot of times your feet will hurt. Or when those issues will come up with the feet, they'll migrate up the body, they'll show up in the knees or the hips or some other places. But shoes are a good example of thinking about just God's design for how we should have our body positioned and for it to move. How about shoulders? Okay, we have a lot of shoulder issues that come up today. Think about it, right? You drive a lot, you're typing a lot. Almost all the things we do in this society are forward with the arms. And so what happens is our muscles in the front of the shoulders get very strong, they get very tight. And so our posture will kind of roll forward. And so what happens is it'll take you out of alignment, and what that can possibly do is cause other problems. Right? Now what happens, now Katrina says I'm not very good at this. Maybe I should have her demonstrate, but as your body would get tight here and go out of alignment, I don't know if any of you can see me, I'm kind of turn, but your shoulders are going to come forward and you're going to slump forward like this. And so you might notice my face is looking at the floor. So you're not going to look at the floor when you walk around. Your neck is going to go up and look up like this. So hopefully my body is doing this, but I'm leaning forward, my shoulders are forward, my neck is up, I have a lot of stress in my neck, and there's a lot of work in my low back. And so if I'm walking around most of my life like this, I cannot have a physically capable, able body that's going to maintain well over the whole course of my life. Now I see a few of you have already touched the table and sitting a little bit back. How does it feel so far to sit up nice and tall? A little bit of work already? I venture to guess it might be. As we look forward too at other things, you know, we carry things all the time, don't we? Think about if you have a car seat you might take out of the car, and you carry something on one side, and you're walking, and it's really heavy, and it's doing things. It could be ladies with a purse. You know, do you carry your purse always on one side? Now, these are very small things, right, that you do every day. Your purse might only weigh 1 pound, probably more. But you think about it, if it's always on one side, your body is compensating to carry that weight on one side. If you're a man, and maybe you do some physical labor, if you're shoveling, do you always shovel on the left side or right side? Or, you know, think about these things. If you're vacuuming, do you always vacuum with one hand, leave with one foot? You know, there's all these different things that we do that we should really be thinking about and just considering how our body is going to work. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we are going to have a workshop for the men on Pilates in general, basically, but whole body health through this form of exercise called Pilates. Now, we put this together for the main purpose of back pain. Now, if you don't have back pain, that doesn't mean you shouldn't come. All right. The whole purpose is to give you a deeper understanding beyond what I can talk about today and actually physically show you how to engage the body properly to have good upright posture and what everything should do so you can be in the best possible form and shape to do God's will. Because that's our point, right? Now, some other things, too, that will affect the body can even be emotional things. And we've seen, even through our practice a lot with the Pilates studio, that there'll be people who will come in, and I'm not saying this is always the case, but I think at least sometimes it's the case, of emotional things can happen. We can have emotional baggage. Let's call it just unresolved sin, because that's really what it is, right? And that unresolved sin can actually degenerate our body. It can help us to hold tension in places we shouldn't. It can run down our immune system. It can have us be very stressed. There's all kinds of physical manifestations. There's even cases where, you know, people will develop things that are maybe like a nerve sensitivity, maybe something like a fibromyalgia or something like that, where it's going to affect the whole body, sensitive to the touch. And a lot of that's a physical manifestation of issues that can be taken care of through seeking God. Well, there's a lot more I can talk about on physical stuff. Other things, you know, God does heal the body, doesn't he? God's the ultimate healer. We're to be stewards of the body. Another big thing, though, too, is breathing. You know, in breathing, we're getting in a lot of the good things we need, the oxygen. And when we're breathing out, we're expelling all the bad stuff out of us. You know, it is, breathing is a expiratory system. It's getting rid of things we don't need. And most people do not breathe nearly deep enough. Okay? They do not take enough breath in. And especially when you're getting the air out, your rib cage, when you exhale, should come really far together. It's designed almost like a fan to go out and in. And getting all those impurities out. If we're not getting a full exhale, you're leaving some impurities and some bad things inside your body. So something to think about, how you breathe. I touched on earlier the idea of reproduction and how we're called by God, right, to bring forth more creation, right, to procreate, to have those children. And it's very important, you know, men, I'll challenge you too, make sure as your wife is getting your body in shape or back in shape and having babies, it's a very important issue. It really is. If it's not taken care of well, it can really result in some bodily conditions that you don't want to have. Besides being painful or causing you to maybe go to the doctor and things of that nature, it will just bring much better quality of life. So we've talked about a lot of things today with the physical body. And it is important. It's the vessel of the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility to have the body in the best possible shape we can to bring forth God's kingdom, right? For the vision He has for you, for your family, and to bring forth His truth in all the world, right? To make disciples, for discipleship, for stewardship of your body. All these things are really crucial. And I wanted to close today with something that I want to challenge you through prayer to really seek this out. On the back of your handout today, hopefully all of you got one from the back table today. Hopefully it was enough. If there wasn't, I'd be happy to email this out. But men, what I want you to do, I want you to really seek God in this. I want you to meditate on God. I want you to seek His face, and I want you to really pray about what He wants to reveal to you about your physical body. Is there anything that you may be doing that He wants you not to do? Is there anything that He wants you to start doing that you're not? I want you to really seek Him out in prayer. I want you to encourage your wives and children to do the same. And it's really for children, of course, that are of the right age. If they're too young, it's not going to be appropriate for them. But I really like you to pray about this and consider each night this week, maybe over dinner, to take one of the questions on the back of this page. And after you've really meditated on and prayed about it, I want you to discuss it over the dinner table. And just share with each other what God's revealing to you about Himself and about what His truth is about the physical body. And this week, as you're talking about it, take some notes. Document what He shows. At the end of the week, if you only have 5 words written down, that's fine. This is not something that's going to take a lot of time. I just want to challenge you and encourage you to seek the Lord in these things and try to seek some truth He wants to share with you. When you're going to the point of implementation, right, after this week, I would say choose one thing at a time. Seek God. Don't try to get 12 things on your list and do them all at once. That's really a recipe for probably discouragement. But really, seek God in this, and I would encourage you, even if God would show one thing to you, hopefully you can be a blessing to your family. You'd feel better. You'd be more vibrant. You'd feel like you are abiding in Christ more and seeking His Word to live it out. So the questions we have on the back here, let me throw them really quickly. These are the topics we talked about today. How well are you taking your thoughts captive? And what are you meditating on? How well or how much do you sleep, rest, and do recreation? And do you do recreation God's way? It's not to escape, it's to really seek Him and replenish the mind, soul, and body. What food and drink are you consuming? And think about how often do you eat? How often do you snack? And is there anything God wants to show you there? How? Why do you eat? Are there anything? You know, I noticed, I mentioned the diet earlier that we started going on. I thought I had no issues with food. And by issues, what I mean is I thought, oh, there's never a time when I crave something or that my desire for food leads me to do something in a certain way. And we changed our diet. And I noticed almost every afternoon I'd have a craving for something sweet. And that was not something that I really thought of. But God brought it to my attention. And it's not bad to eat sweet things, but I was so prideful, if you will, that I thought, oh, I don't have any idols or anything that's really tripping me up in the area of food. But I did. And so God really convicted me of that. And to really look at why I eat. Is it emotional? Am I rewarding myself? Are there certain things that's not honoring to God? Number 4, what stuff are you exposed to that is not good for you? So take an inventory of that throughout the week. And what could you possibly change or maybe even eliminate if you needed to? 5, how active are you? Are you moving your whole body in the ways that will edify health? I talked really briefly today about just one of the basic characteristics of the body, the spine. I did mention the feet and other things too. But we can go much more in depth about the design and how perfect and amazing God's creation is and what it means to have a healthy body to serve Him well. Last one. What else is God revealing to you that may not be in the above questions? Because God's the one that's going to move your spirit. I don't think in any way this is an exhaustive list of things that the body, that's our responsibility in regard to the body, the physical body. So I would just pray today that even if there's one little area here that God has convicted, you are just showing you that you would pray about that and see where God will lead you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your creation and how perfect it is. Lord, Your majesty and Your power are shown in creation. Not just the human body, but everything around us. Lord, You remind us of who You are, how perfect Your plan is. Lord, and that You are in control of all things. Lord, You created us to glorify You and enjoy You forever. Even now in our physical body, You have created us, Lord, with a responsibility to be healthy as much as possible for Your glory, not our own. Lord, live a good quality life that will edify You, that will share Your truth in all that we do. Lord, I pray as we leave today that You would just take down any barriers that people might have in their hearts, Lord. let your truth penetrate. And Lord, we pray that we would be changed as we leave here today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Questions? Hopefully today was edifying to you. Hopefully it may inspire you to pray about some things. Darren?
Yeah, first off, thank you very much. That was well thought out, well spoken. Thank you. It really connected. If some of these pieces I've got, you also. I did have one question for you. You mentioned about what we take in drugs and all that stuff. In your research or stuff like that, because I know sometimes that doctors will prescribe drugs for whatever issues we have, and I know a lot of times, and I know a lot of the industry, the things the doctors prescribe, that's more things that we have to take more drugs for, and all these different things, do we just is there a way of getting off the drugs? And is there exercises and stuff like that to promote more health that you don't have to take your drugs and stuff like that? And then second was, it's funny you mentioned sleep, because the study that the ladies are doing, fighting the noisy soul,
right.
A couple of weeks ago I went to a conference and Dr. Jim Burke was there and spoke.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to meet him. Very awesome guy, godly man. But he talked about how sleep can actually affect, and a lot of the drugs that we do take, because we're not sleeping, it affects our health and everything. They talked about how, one time, if somebody goes without sleep for 3 days, it can actually shock your body, and somebody can go into a psychopathic mentality. The thing where you're just sitting there rocking and all these different things, and you get admitted into a psychiatric ward and all these different things. But you mentioned how sleep is